CougarFan.com, Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 366, and I'm your host, Adam Mangum. Mark Pope was named BYU men's basketball coach, and Matt and I discuss the hire. Was Pope the right man for the job? We talk about expectations for next season and what success would look like. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. You can get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. You can follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, and listen to us talk about Mark Pope right now. Matt, there's only one topic for us to talk about today, and that's the hiring of Mark Pope as coach for the men's basketball team. But before we get to that...
But how can you say there's only one topic and then do a before we get to that?
Well, I can, because I'm the host. Or co-host. We're both hosts. But that's not the point. The point is, there's snow on the ground. It's snowing right now at my house.
That's insane.
It's stupid. It's stupid. There was a snow day yesterday. School was canceled yesterday.
It's 63 degrees, and I'm going to go ahead and say sunny. You might call this partly cloudy, but it's sunny where I'm at.
Yeah, well, I'd like to punch you in the throat.
Well, it's too bad you can't because you're buried in snow.
That's true. That's true. It's crazy. But anyway... Let's shift to happier topics. The administration at BYU made the decision to hire Mark Pope. When you heard that announcement, obviously not a surprise because he was named by most press folks as the top candidate for the job. What was your initial reaction that Mark Pope had been named coach for the men's basketball team?
I'm excited about Mark Pope. Going over the list of candidates, maybe we'll talk about that piece of it in just a second. Mark Pope was the guy that I thought was probably the top choice of the administration. There's a lot to be excited about with Mark. He's got great college playing experience. He's got great NBA experience. He's got, he's been in and around the BYU program. So he understands what that's all about. He was able to be part of some of these successful runs that Coach Rose has made. So there's a lot to be excited about with Mark Pope as the coach.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I was excited. We'll get into this deeper, but I think this is a good. I don't want to call it a safe hire because I don't know what that means. People have thrown that around. I think the safe hire is usually promoting a current coach, right? That's your safe hire,
right?
I think this is close to that because obviously he was an assistant on that. So let's go jump in the time machine, Matt.
Here we go. Up the DeLorean.
Three days ago to be exact, Tim Jacobson sent us an email that said, which coaching candidate, Mark Pope or Mark Madsen, can make the most compelling recruiting pitch to come play at BYU? And is this the most important factor in deciding who the coach should be? So going back in time, Matt, I mean, it seemed that, and again, I don't know if this is actually true, but it seems through the press that Pope and Madsen were the two. And if you read what was said in the introductory press conference, you may want to text your order to your wife for the food, Matt, not to me. We're recording this and Matt is texting me instead of his wife. I would text your wife.
Yeah, that's great. The
spicy chicken is fantastic. I assume that's a Chick-fil-A order.
Yeah, we're having a birthday lunch with one of our children today.
It's fantastic. Chick-fil-A is amazing. But let's just assume at this point that they were the two candidates and that Mark Madsen was seriously considered by the administration and Tom Homo to replace Dave Rose. Who do you think has the edge in recruiting? Who would you have given the edge in recruiting to between Pope and Madsen?
I think I would have given the edge to Madsen there. I understand that he's maybe not done it, and Pope has had some experience in that arena, but Madsen has been in some very visible places that I even think that recruits today could identify with. So I'd probably give the edge to Madsen.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I don't know if it's a significant edge. Does that make sense? I'd probably give him a little bit of an edge because he's got some name recognition that if you're not a BYU or Utah Valley fan, I don't know if you know who Mark Pope is. And chances are, if you're a basketball fan, there's a better shot you know who Mark Madsen is. Though he hasn't played in a while, and he wasn't a superstar, obviously, in the NBA. But, you know, if you were around during his college run, you know, he had some memorable moments in college. I was more intrigued, to be honest, with Madsen. I kind of feel like, and this may be totally wrong, by the way, that Madsen had a higher ceiling and a lower floor than Pope did, right? It could have gone, like, really bad, or we could have been talking about how what a great hire Madsen was. I feel like Pope, his chances of being a disaster are pretty low, right? He just took a Utah Valley program to the next level. He's been part of BYU before. He gets the recruiting weirdness that surrounds BYU on a level that maybe Madsen doesn't, just because he hasn't done it yet, right?
Right. I mean, it's just the unknown, right? Yeah, like yeah. You don't, Madsen's probably perfectly capable, right? But you just don't know. And at least you've seen Pope do it.
Yeah. You've seen Pope do it for sure.
But at the same time, I think it's close. I'm not in any way disappointed with this hire. I'm really excited about Mark Pope. But I was kind of leaning Madsen, and who knows how this all played out behind the scenes, right? But it doesn't look like Madsen's going to be out of a job. Maybe not with Magic Johnson stepping down. And so if he was like a high candidate, maybe that changes things. I don't know if it does.
I doubt it changed things. Walton still might get fired, right? And his staff with him. But I mean, this would have been, even if you got a pay cut, if you're Madsen, if your goal is to be a head coach someday at the college and or pro level, and you've got a shot to be a coach at a school like BYU, which here's the thing with Pope and Madsen both. I don't know what their aspirations are, right? Is this a destination for Pope or the next step from Utah Valley, right? Is for Madsen, if he had come, would this have been a destination and he stays for 10 years? Or is this a turn the program around, make it look good, and then parlay that into a bigger college job or potentially a pro job, right? I don't know. I don't know what their things are. And quite frankly, like we said when Satake was hired, I don't care. Like, I know a lot of people are like, I don't want a guy for just 3 or 4 years. If he makes the program awesome, I'm fine if they just stay for 3 or 4 years and then turn it into something else. I know historically BYU hasn't been that place. And we don't, I mean, Mendenhall's the closest, but I don't think he really fits that mold, right? Because he was here for a long time, and I don't know that UVA is that much of a step up from BYU. I mean, it's in a better conference, all that stuff, right? But would you be upset if Pope 4 years from now turns this into, we're awesome, we're making the tournament every year, and then all of a sudden he goes to coach Kentucky?
No, and I wouldn't be at all. As a matter of fact, I kind of hope that he – there's a part of me that hopes that it plays out that way, because if it does, that means we're looking at 2 or 3 years of really successful basketball.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that can do for a program. I think if you – and I hate to utter the words Urban Meyer, but – and I hate to make a comparison to the University of Utah, but let's just go ahead and use that as an example. Okay, so Urban Meyer shows up in Salt Lake, is there for a couple of years, gets Alex Smith drafted way too high in the draft, and then takes off. But the impact that remains. Now they were able to follow up with a hire of a guy that, you know, was a long-term solution for them. And maybe, you know, I don't know if you have to follow up a Mark Pope with a guy who's a long-term solution, but I'd love to see Pope crush this and then go get the coaching job at Kentucky.
Yeah,
but I think long-term, I think both of these guys viewed this job as a step. It's a career. It's a step in their career. And if I'm the career coach for either of these guys and they are in a position to really realize what the upside is for them, and I take the emotion of being a BYU fan out of it, that's what I would advise them to do.
Yeah. I mean, I saw some folks online saying, is this really a good thing for Pope because he got things going at Utah Valley? Utah Valley would need the resources he has at BYU. Yes, he can recruit whoever he wants at Utah Valley, right? So there's an advantage there of some kind. If he makes it work at BYU and beats Gonzaga a few times on national TV, he wins the WCC and beats a good Gonzaga team to do it, then the resume is done. In Utah Valley, he could do all of those things in the WAC and still not get a good job offer, right? So I you know, when I've seen people say that, I get what they're saying because people have parlayed, but he's not going to parlay that. Kentucky's not going to hire the guy from Utah Valley, even if he's a former Kentucky guy, right?
Yeah, we're saying it's Kentucky not even, it's not even there, like the right? Like you look at coaches who've come out of places like George Mason and Virginia Commonwealth and schools that came in, did a year, maybe two of one or two games deep into the tournament, and then the coaches jumped ship and took a better job, right? And both of those particular examples, I don't know that it worked out super good, but for either of them. But I don't know, in order to make that jump from UVU, I think he'd have to have at least 2 years like that where he was going a game or two deep in the NCAA tournament before he even really gets sniffed by a place like Kentucky. And if Kentucky is really where he wants to go, like if that's his dream job, is that actual school, timing is also a really important factor here.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got to rev that engine up as quickly as possible. And it's just easier to do that with the resources in Provo than it is in Orem right now.
Yeah, for sure. And again, if he had decided to stay at UVU, like I wouldn't have had any problem with this decision, right? For us, for BYU, I think it's bad, depending on who else the coach was selected. But, you know, in the end, for Mark Pope, you know, he's got to decide what's best for his career and his family and all this stuff. And the nice thing for him is he's, you know, in his profession, he's moved jobs and hasn't had to move, right? And that's pretty rare. Right in that,
it's extremely
in that,
rare in that to do what field. He's just done. Like he took two huge career steps and probably didn't switch houses. Yeah, I mean, maybe he did. But
kids are staying in the same schools. I mean, it's pretty good. I can say I'm excited for Mark Pope. I think he's probably the right hire when you look at it objectively. He's got head coaching experience. We haven't ever had someone with D1 head coaching experience. He has BYU experience. I mean, I just won, and his press conference was amazing. And again, I don't put a ton of stuff into press conferences, right? You got to be careful on that. But he, you know, he said all the right things, seemed super enthusiastic about it, and I thought he was great.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued based on his comments to see what he does with the rest of his staff.
Yeah.
I think that part's going to get really interesting. But yeah, this is an exciting time. He's saying all the right stuff. He really wants to be here. He loves the program. I think when he says that BYU is a special place and he uses phrases like beacon on a hill and all this stuff, I mean, he really believes that. I think he is bought into that, which is great.
Yeah.
I would have also loved to see Mark Madsen get the job. I mean, I did have a chance to really briefly meet him about 12 years ago. He seems like a really great guy. And I'm sure with his pedigree, he's going to go somewhere and do something. And I think he's got a really good chance of being a very good college head coach or pro coach, if you look at his career down the stretch. But
yeah.
So either of them would have been great. But I'm really excited about Pope. I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about the future of the basketball program with him coming in.
Yeah, for sure. And as far as Madsen goes, remember, I actually rooted for those Stanford team he was on.
Which is crazy for you.
He's the only person that's got me to root for Stanford.
Do you remember? He was the one that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated back in the day. He was like the screaming face.
Yes,
that was Madsen, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah. He was a lot of fun to watch in college.
He just played the game in a very. And this sounds terrible, but no, it doesn't. It's totally true. In a non-Stanford way, right? Like he played the game in a, you know,
you
like
hate a, Stanford so much
in a mid-major kind of way. You know what I mean? Like all out. Who's the guy that did it for North Carolina too? That was kind of out of place there too. But you know, this is the type of thing. And you know, he played for the Timberwolves right here locally, and they love him here, right? Like he was loved everywhere he went because he was a max effort guy. And I love max effort guys, right? And I think BYU has to be the place where you have to coach that. And I'm not saying Pope can't do it, because I think he can. But
I think he can, and I think that he will.
But you've got BYU has to be that place. Everybody has to be max effort, because we are not going to get the level of recruits who, you know, the level of recruits that some of the other schools maybe in our peer set are going to get, right? We're going to miss out on some of those. And so we need everybody, And the other point is, can you imagine him being okay with kind of slacking on defense?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
But I don't think Pope's going to be okay with that either. So I think
Pope's using this. You know, he's using this phrase 24/7, relentless, and all this stuff, right? Which is coach speak on some level. But if you look at how he has worked with the players that he was coaching, working with one on one when he was here, and you look at what he's had to do over at Utah Valley, I mean, this is a guy like this is the way he actually approaches this. Yeah. So. There are some things that have been the traditional frustrations of BYU fans in the past that I think you will see the needle move on with Pope in town.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, looking back at his resume a little bit, right, he goes to I remember his first year at Utah Valley. They only improved by like one win over the previous season. Didn't really look like that big of a improvement, right? And I remember thinking in the second season, he's 17 wins, and you start kind of thinking there, maybe he isn't the right guy, right? And then these last two seasons, just better and better. And quite frankly, since they've been, you know, Division One, it's the best two seasons they've had, and it's not particularly close, right?
Right.
They were basically terrible in almost every single year, except for the last two, where they've been pretty decent. So anyway, but if you look at that, I mean, they were a team that that was. I mean, he really worked on the offense being efficient, right? If you look at this last year, you know, they were 56th in the country in offensive rating according to Sports Reference. So this was not a team historically that had been that. I don't care how you win. You can win through defense. You can win through offense. Historically, the answer is you got to do a little bit of both if you want to be really good. But I don't really care in the end. I just want them to be back in the tournament. And quite frankly, I don't think – is it crazy to expect him to be back to lead them back into the tournament next year based on who's left on the roster?
I thought about that yesterday. And I'm throwing the blue goggles on the way that he did when he was on BYU Sports Nation the other day, and I think he can do it. And who knows? Maybe Toulson's coming back. I mean, right? I mean, he's in the transfer portal. He's sitting there with Bill and Ted and George Carlin. He's in the transfer portal right now. But you look at – I mean, just – I get excited when I think about that. Like, think about what you just – you know, the question you just posed, and let me throw out a couple things for you. Last year – Utah Valley University had the player of the year, the basketball player of the year, which was Toulson, and the freshman of the year, right? And a couple of years ago, like, they weren't even sniffing that type of thing.
No, not even close.
Right? And maybe Toulson comes back to Provo. I don't know what he's going to do. You know, maybe he's wait. I heard last night that he's waiting to see who the head coach is going to be before he really makes a decision there. But he could be back. And you look at the tools that are left there and how quickly this guy is able to kind of flip things around. And he's not – I mean, he already knows up from down and on campus at BYU right now. So that piece of the learning curve won't be nearly as steep as it would have been for a different kind of a hire. So, well, no, I don't think it's out of the question to expect him to get back in the tournament next year. I don't think it's out of the question at all.
Based on advanced statistics, Toulson would have been the third best player on BYU last year. Now, is that really true? I don't know. Because obviously he was, kind of the main guy or one of the main guys at Utah Valley, and he would have been at least the third banana at BYU. But, I mean, you look at
did
some
you
of that.
Did you say third banana?
I did say third banana.
Is that a thing? Is it that is, a phrase?
Sure, I just made it a
I've
phrase.
I've never heard anybody say that before.
Well, you've now heard somebody say it. So good for you, buddy. Good for you.
Okay, hashtag third banana.
Hashtag third banana.
Let me know if you buy that this is a real phrase.
It is a real phrase. Somebody will back me up.
Let's find out. Let's leave it up to the listeners.
Let's leave it up to the listeners. Now, Kelly Rogers is enthusiastic about Mark Pope doing it, coming on to the coaching staff. Here's what Kelly said on Facebook. You can join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. Kelly says, after his announcement, I wanted to sign up to play. I wonder if he would sign a 58-year-old with 4 years of eligibility left. Kelly, I'm guessing no.
It sounds like we've got the making of a movie here, though, Kelly. I think you should
That's
go for
true.
It.
That's true. We probably do have the making of a movie there. So getting back to not being in our time machine now, we'll come back to today. Matt, we have another question from Tim Jacobson. He says, is Yoli still gone? Is it, if it was zero chance of return 2 weeks ago, what is it now? So Matt, greater, it has, it's gone up or it stayed the same, Yoli Child's chances of returning for his senior season?
I think it stayed the same.
I think they stayed the same. He said he's going to hire an agent, and once he does that, you're done, right?
So, well, there are some rules around using – you can do some things with an agent.
Advisor, yeah.
And still come back. And so I don't know that it's clear how he is – in what capacity he's hiring an agent. So maybe there's a door open there. But listen, guys, the Yoli train has left the station. So, like, so we need to just wrap our heads around that.
Completely agree with you. If Yoli happens to listen to this podcast, which I realize the probabilities are probably about as low that he listens to this podcast as it is that he remains at BYU. But if he was listening and wanted my advice, here's my advice. Are you ready for this?
I can't. I'm not sure what you're about to say, so I'm actually looking forward to it.
Come back. I think Mika's path has shown you that this leaving early to play foreign is a bad idea. That will be there next year. And it's a business and it's a grind and you're going to switch teams a bunch and you're going to be living all over Europe. And some of that is cool. I've talked to a few guys that have played over there. It's a grind, man. It's not fun, right? And your family's living, you're living way far away from everybody. And it's not as cool as it sounds. The money's decent depending on what kind of contract you sign. But he's not going to sniff the NBA. I mean, he's not on the radar at all of NBA potentially being drafted. And being right. A fringe NBA player, also not fun. So stick around, see what Pope's got to do, and see if you can get back to the tournament and do something fun in college. Now, that's, again, my advice. I don't really, in the end, like you and I have always said, if he decides to go, more power to him, his personal decision. I have no bitterness. I just think you look at Mika and Bryant and these guys, and did they really – I mean, is that really – I mean, is it a great decision? You're going to be able to make that money a year later. I mean, yes, you could blow your knee out or that stuff, but that's not that common, right? The real question is
– And none of that money you're about to go make is guaranteed. Well, I know, not – there's maybe some level of guarantee. I don't know how the foreign contracts work, to be honest.
Not a ton.
And you could blow your knee out in practice on the first day, right? But let me ask you this: do you think that if Yoli stays a year, that he could improve his game enough to have a shot at the NBA?
I don't think it's likely. No, I don't. Mika was a much more polished player than him. I don't think he's. No, I don't. I think he's undersized to be a big guy, right at 6'8", in today's NBA. Heck, there's a lot of point guards taller than him, perimeter players taller than him. He did improve with the three-point shooting a little bit this year. And by improved, I guess maybe he didn't. He just shot more to try to showcase that. And quite frankly, it annoyed the heck out of me most of the time when he shot during this season because I kind of felt like, showcasing for the pros is not what you should be doing in games, right? You should be trying to win the games. 32% three-point shooter, me, right? His free throw shooting got better, but I don't think so. There's a possibility he could. I just don't know that his game is an NBA game in today's NBA, right? He's not super fast. He can't pop out and be a threat as a three-point shooter. And I think he would struggle to get his shot off in the post against a lot of the defenders in the NBA.
All right, fair enough.
What do you think? I mean, you're not a big NBA guy.
Yeah, I'm not a huge NBA guy, but I think you're probably right. And so the reason I ask that question is that if I'm in his shoes, those are the types of questions I got to ask myself about what are the benefits I really get for coming back? And if I just think about it in terms of the time value of money, what do I get for coming back when I could start collecting that? While the money isn't great, I could start collecting it right away.
Yeah, and that's all of those are legitimate questions. And if he decides to go, like I said, more power to him, because I think, he'll have a lot of success in life, right? I mean, he's a good, seemed like a really solid guy and obviously really put together a decent college career and more power to him. But to answer Tim's question, I don't think there's much chance that we're actually going to see him in a BYU uniform next year. And that's unfortunate because for Pope, I think that would increase his chances of getting into the tournament.
It would be awesome if he had Yoli. I'd feel way better about what I said a minute ago around getting into the tournament.
So let's play this game, Matt. You got looking at the roster from last year, okay? Looking at who's coming back, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, Hawes, Celius, Baxter, who's got a lot of potential. You know, looking at that group, Nick Emery, who by the way did not have a good year, right? In the end, when it comes down to it, he had some flashes, right. But it was by any measure his worst season at BYU. And granted, I get it; it was a truncated season and all that stuff. What has Pope got to do to turn this around? What makes this sing next year and makes his first year a success?
You know, I think if he's got to just bring in one or two guys that can make solid contributions right away. He's got a young team overall, and a lot of the pieces you had last year coming back. He's just got to figure out a way to put them. He's just got to figure out a way to put them together better.
Yeah, I think
the way they were playing last year, it was just such an up and down, weird thing to watch this last season.
Sure.
And so he's just got to figure out a way to piece these together differently.
Yeah, he's got to. It's got to be X's and O's, right?
Yeah,
like this is. He got to find a better way to max out, and I don't know that Rose did that this year. Never really figured out how to max out this roster. Because if you told me that we'd have those three guys, Emery, Childs, and Hawes, to me, you should be able to make the NIT with that roster, right? Minimum. And potentially, if you've got a – and we said this wasn't the deepest team, but potentially if you've got a deep team, you should be able to make the NCAA tournament with that, with those three guys, right? Now, maybe you've got to cross Emery off because he didn't have a very good year and he didn't start the year. But still, with this roster, I feel like this was an NIT – level roster at least, and we didn't get there. So to me, success for Pope looks like minimum NIT. You got to be back in the postseason next year, and obviously the upside is a one and done in the NCAA, and I think people would be stoked, right? Because obviously at this point it's been what, four seasons, what, right?
Yeah,
since the NCAA. What does disaster look like for Mark Pope?
Something that looks like this past season.
Yeah, I don't know if that's disaster. That's bad. I feel like disaster is go backwards, like win 15 games, finish below 500. I think that's disaster. I think if he wins 18, 19 games and misses the postseason, people will be disappointed. But I don't think anybody but the most the loud, obnoxious fans will be calling for his head.
I don't know. I think if you miss the postseason, the rumblings will be strong.
That's true. You're probably right.
If you don't even get into the NIT next year, like, I don't know. Listen, unless he goes to, like, the Sweet 16, there are going to be some people who are – there's always going to be people who are going to be like, oh, I don't know if he's the right guy. You know, I mean, there's going to always be some faction of that, right?
We should have done Madsen.
Oh, I don't know. This is what we get. BYU always does this. I hate when people like that phrase is so stupid. I just want to punch people in the mouth. But anyway,
and by the way, so does every other team except for like five teams in the country.
Yeah, everybody's got fans like this.
No. So, I just mean every school does this because basketball ends with you losing, right? Like basketball season ends with you losing. You lose in your conference tournament. And or you lose in the NCAA tournament or whatever postseason tournament you get into, right? So your season always ends in basketball in disappointment unless you make it a very deep tournament run, right?
Right.
But even our last big tournament run was a disappointment, right? With Jimmer, because that was a team we thought could be a Final Four team, right? So even then, sometimes it's a disappointment. By the way, I love your voice. That's very good.
I don't know. But seriously, though, if he does not, if they don't at least make the NIT next year, I think the griping is legit.
Hmm.
You've got to at least make the NIT.
All right. Well, Matt's thrown down the gauntlet.
That's got to be table stakes.
Table
for this
stakes,
program.
He says. Table stakes. You go to too many business meetings. Table stakes. That's what business people say. That's a buzzword.
It's a gambling term that I've picked up.
Gambling term, yeah. All the gambling you're doing. Well, Matt, I think that's all I got. Any other thoughts on Mark Pope's hire as the men's basketball coach? I'm sure next episode we'll talk about it even more because that's what we do.
I think the key here is as long as everybody understands, I'm excited about it. I think Pope's. I believe Pope's going to be great.
Yeah, I think Pope's going to be good, and I think this is a good hire, and I'm hopeful for next season. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. You can always tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout, Facebook, facebook.com/RiseAndShout, email RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com, like Tim Jacobson did. That's one word, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. We're recording this on Friday, April 12th. I don't know that we'll have a podcast next week. Maybe we'll do another flash one like this one later in the week. But we should be back in another week and a half with a more regular episode. Thanks for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Always good to be more regular. Go, Chris.
Really? A regular joke?
You said you started it.
No, I didn't start anything.
You talked about it being regular.
Your face started.
I don't understand.